With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Now, you're never going to get it like that. You're not going to do your gooch properly like that.
What have I got to do?
Well, for a start, use your other hand and cup your balls and lift your balls
up. Like that?
So you can see, you need to see your gooch. The light's there for a reason. The light's on the shaver so you can see your gooch.
Yeah.
Now push your shaft to one side as well. So you can see. There you go. Now go right to the anus. Right up. One sweeping motion you want.
Whoa. Tickles that, doesn't it? So, oi.
See?
Bloody hell.
Hey.
How much air was down there? Like a blooming little afro down there, isn't it, cock?
See? Perfect. Your speedos are going to look great on Fight Island now.
Yeah, it's good, that. Oh. Cheers for that. We should do that. We should set up a little video of demonstrating to other fight disciples. Yeah, I think they should, because there'll be loads of people listening to this that want to get themselves their Manscaped product, because that's who brings you this podcast on a week by week basis. Head to manscaped.com and use the code FIGHT20 for your discount. And if you follow us on fightdisciples.com, there's going to be a special demonstration video there now of how to use your Manscaped product. I never knew you could do that with your gooch. Blimmin' heck. Nearly pulled them over my head.
This is Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast episode 459. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is dedicated to the world of boxing. Hope you are well. Thank you very much for coming to join us. And if it's the first time you've ever come to join us, you can, of course, subscribe to this via iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you are looking for on that platform. If you get there, please write a nice little 5-star review. It helps with our visibility in the iTunes charts. And you can also get anything else, Spotify and the like, on our website, fightdisciples.com. Our social media are all over that as well. All the links to it, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And you can also get our YouTube channel there too. And you can also buy some beer offers if you want to do that. You're more than welcome to do so. Fightdisciples.com is where you can find us on the World Wide Web. Weird show, this one. Weird show. No fights to review. No fights to preview. So for the next half an hour, we're going to talk about our favourite recipes. Not Molly Messing. No, see, you can just hear the clicks then of people going, oh, fuck that. Switch off, switch off, switch off. No, there's bits of boxing to talk about. Yeah, of course, there's no fights to review, no fights to preview. But there are bits of boxing news to talk about. And I actually want to start with something that we went crazy on last week. And it's the rise and rise of Ryan Garcia, mate. I can't help but love this kid. You know, I have a policy on my social media of trying my very best not to follow too much boxing. I leave it all on the Fight Disciples Instagram page. So I follow all the fighters and what have you on those pages. And on my own personal page, I try my best just to keep it to people that I actually know, you know? Whereas I found myself following Ryan Garcia on Instagram this week thinking, yeah, man, I'm in the Ryan Garcia train. Even though I think he's, maybe number 4 or number 5 in the lightweight when it comes to talent, when it comes to hype and when it comes to superstardom, I've absolutely been sucked in.
And the thing with him is we'd be complete hypocrites if we didn't absolutely love him, because he's everything we profess a fighter should be. 100% marketable, talented, of course. But also, you know, with the caveat that he knows his worth, he knows what he's all about. He understands probably more than any other fighter in boxing. Now, Conor McGregor's probably up there in terms of what I'm going to talk about. But in terms of boxing, because of the numbers, you can't argue that he's probably more in tune and gets social media more than any other fighter. He understands social media and the power of social media and what a tool it can be in terms of driving revenue and driving sponsorship and fans. He's got that lockdown tick. He's, you know, with a promoter that has got very few, literally 3 or 4 standout guys. And Ryan Garcia is probably at the front of that queue now, because he's the one who's had a big breakthrough fight. Tick. He's got the talent. He's clearly got the ability, and he's got the death touch, which when you're a good-looking kid like him, not to reiterate Zone's fucking commentary again, because this is all we got throughout the whole fight.
Pretty boy.
He's good-looking. He's got a good chin, but he's got that power. But he has got that power. Literally, he ticks every single box in the Arsenal. So for us to not be fully on board with Ryan Garcia would be horrific. Now, of course, listen, you've got your favourite in the division, Teofimo, currently the number one. I've got my favourite, Devin Haney, who desperately needs a signature win. And you know what? We'll both probably unite in the thought that out of them all, Javonta Davis could potentially knock them all out. So the beauty of it is there's the, all four guys were completely bought in and were completely invested in. But you're right, right now, Ryan Garcia this week, I haven't listened to it yet, but I've been saving it for our long journey later in the week. But I can't wait to listen to him, Jeremy Piven and Mike Tyson on Tyson's Hot Boxing podcast, because I've seen the footage.
Yeah.
I've seen the video clips of Garcia calling out Javonta Davis, and it's fucking a thing of beauty, man.
Listen, Teofimo was the guy that was doing the things that we wanted the lightweights to do. He was the guy chasing Lomachenko. He made that noise, and let's not take away from him. The champion has done everything that we expected him to do. He talks the talk, walks the walk, does everything. But everything else just was ticking along, bubbling along. You need a bit of friction, don't you, really, for a division to really fire up. You need somebody else to obviously come to the party and kind of steal a little bit of the limelight away from the champ. And you mentioned Conor's name a couple of moments ago, and obviously from the world of UFC. When Conor was coming through and Conor was talking and talking and talking and talking, Conor wasn't the champ. Conor was the guy. Do you remember when he rocked up in Brazil and he's ripping up posters of Rafael dos Anjos and all those types of things, and then chasing Aldo through the streets and all those types of things, right? He wasn't the champ. He was the chaser. He was the hunter. And that's where that's why I'm fascinated with Ryan Garcia right now, because Teofimo can talk as much as he wants because he's backed it up. He's the guy. He's gone in there, done the business. Everybody knows he's the guy. So whatever he says now, it's believable. Ryan Garcia, though, is doing it from a hunter point of view. And that, for me, is even more fascinating. I'm absolutely locked in on, can he actually back this bullshit up? To chase down Tank, I can't express how fucking mental it is to chase down Tank at this particular point. He, like you've just said there, is he the most dangerous out of them all? Is he the most dangerous? There is a more, I won't say easier fight, because Devin Haney's a fucking talent, but there's a fight there that it would be more understandable for the fans, that you could go, all right, that's obviously the next logical step for these two guys. You put these two in together, we'll find out who the real deal is, and it all becomes a little bit samey. It's all following previous, like, chronological order in the world of boxing. We kind of all dance to a tune that has been fed to us by sanctioning bodies, mandatories, all these types of things, yeah? Whereas Ryan Garcia has just gone, nah, fuck that. And I kind of like this about him as well. You just mentioned his promoter. I think he's the type of kid to hold his promoter to account if his promoter doesn't deliver. He's made that much noise now, going on the Mike Tyson show, going on his own social media, making that much noise for Tank, that if it doesn't come off, if it doesn't happen, I think he's the type of kid to hold someone to account. And I'm, again, referring back to that relationship that he's got with the Canellos and the Reynosos, who are now managing themselves, he'll be taking advice off them. He'll be having conversations with them. And for him to carry on the way that he's carried on this week, I'm like, yes, mate, he's putting the welterweight division to shame. This is what Spence and Crawford should be doing. This is where we should be at. We're hyped about a 22-year-old kid who's taking over the game, man. This fight was not on our list. 2021, what fight do you want to see? Tank versus Ryan Garcia. And they're like, yeah, if you make it sound, I'm in, but I'm not absolutely pumped for it. It's AJ versus Fury, and now it's Tank versus Garcia. That's it. Then just make the fights, man. I need to see it.
The mad thing is as well, unlike a lot of, unlike boxing traditionally, the way it's gone, and what we hate about boxing and what we promised we weren't going to do this year, and that was toe the line with these promoters, these TV networks, and these fucking governing body belts. And toe the line going, oh yeah, okay. Well, next, Tio's got to fight Kambosos Jr. because he's IBF. No, no, we said at the start of the year, we're not going to dance by this shitty boxing tune anymore. We're going to fucking call for the big fights. And if the big fights don't happen, we're going to kick up a fuss and we're going to complain about it. And it's kind of like Ryan Garcia's gone, yeah, man, I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Because all of boxing, all of listen, people with from the industry that I know, journalists, boxers, trainers, everyone I've spoken to about Ryan Garcia has said the same thing. Yeah, yeah, well, he should fight Linares next. And I'm like, why? Well, that's for his development. You know, Linares has been there, done this. And I'm like, yeah, but fuck that. No, no, let's move forward as an industry. Yeah. Let's all move forward.
Agreed.
Let's go. You know what? Fuck the right fight at the right time. Make the best fight at the right time.
Correct.
Make the best fight now. Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. As much as you go, yeah, but in 5 years' time, if they've both got world title belts, nah, fuck that, man. No way. The way both these guys fight, the way obviously Tank is so goes up and down the weight divisions, has a habit of blowing up, could even end up in jail at some point. You know, there's no gamble that he's still going to be an undefeated champion in 5 years' time. Likewise, Ryan Garcia, for all the talent in the world he's got, he can be hit and he is flat-footed. So in 5 years' time, I hazard a guess that he's not going to be undefeated either. Why wait? Do it now.
Yeah.
They never think of football. When was Wayne Rooney at the peak? When was Michael Owen at his peak? In his early 20s, when the pace was there, when he was hungry, when he had the ambition, when he didn't give a fuck that Marcel Desailly was going to mark him because he was going to roast the fuck out of him and score him top in. Get the big fights on now. Don't let Ryan Garcia get to the point where he's 27 years of age. He's got the experience and the maturity to go, ooh, I'm not taking that gamble. I'm not taking that chance. I'm not leading with a fucking, you know, a right hand at this stage in the fight. I've got to jab my way through. Nah, man. This is the entertainment business. These guys, these four guys that we keep harping on about, if they throw down for the next 3 years, they'll make the kind of bank, they'll secure the kind of legacy that other boxers, and I'm looking at you, welterweight division, can only dream of in the next 3 years. Mm. They could be out of the game by the age of 27, having been a multiple-time world champion, having got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, and then fucking Ryan Garcia could cruise straight into the Hollywood movie-making business. No problem at all. Tank could slide his way straight into jail. Not a problem. But by then, they will have defined their legacy, this generation. And that's why we've got to get behind Ryan Garcia. We've got to all support this narrative of Gervonta Davis. We've got to all put pressure on Mayweather Promotions, on Golden Boy Promotions, on everybody involved, the Zone and everyone, and make it clear that we are not accepting another fight for either guy. If they want it, make it. Fuck you if you're not going to make money out of it. You know, if you think he might get beat, so what? Mm. If Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis get it on this year, and if one of them gets beat, they will not drop down in my estimations. I will then be pushing for them to fight a Devin Haney or a Teofimo Lopez, whichever. And that, again, there's the flip side of it. We should all be driving for that fight too. Yeah. I don't care if Kambosos Jr. is the IBF mandatory, with all due respect. I don't care. The Australian kid looked good against Lee Selby, sound. Lee Selby was a very, very good featherweight. He's never been a good lightweight. And he looked every bit his age. I wasn't impressed with Kambosos Jr. He didn't do enough to force his way into this quartet of Americans right now that can run away with the game. It's up to the fighters to make it happen. Ryan Garcia is making the right noises. Teofimo Lopez confronting Eddie Hearn and going, put $10 million on the table, I'll fight Devin Haney. And Eddie going, well, why am I speaking to you? Because he's the fighter, man.
Yeah.
He's the fighter. If you put $10 million on the table, if Eddie Hearn goes, right, there's $10 million then, Tio, come and fight Devin Haney. You really think Teofimo Lopez is going to go and ask permission of Top Rank? Or is he just going to sign and say to Top Rank, either get on board for your 10% or fuck off? That's the mentality, man. And they've all got to be the same way. They've all got to have the same mentality.
Mate, I'm down. And you're right in what you're saying. The amount of people I've seen tweets that my New Year's resolution this year is to not bite to bullshit on social media, because you just end up getting in arguments.
Yeah.
That you're never going to win arguments on Twitter, because people are just daft and stupid and stuck. And a lot of them are stuck in the Wes. Sound, you crack on being stuck in your Wes. But what we need to do, and I'm sure people listening to this, listening to us today, are on board with this, because you come here because you're on board with it, you're on board with no more bullshit. You're on board with fuck the franchise. That's what you're on board with, right? You want to see the best against the best more often. So start holding people to account. When you see someone tweet, oh, well, the next fight should be Linares for his development, a learning fight. He's still not ready for... I saw some people, right, tweeting that he wasn't ready for Devin Haney, right? And I did jump on this, so I brought my New Year's resolution straight away, and I jumped on it, and I went, hang on a minute, Ryan Garcia is not ready for Devin Haney. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, he's not ready yet. He needs a couple more fights, just, you know, to... So first of all, why are you arsed? Why are you bothered? Are you a fan, or are you financially invested in Ryan Garcia? Do you get paid out when he fights? No, you don't, unless you're betting on him. No, you don't, all right? So why do you give a shit? Going back to what Nick said 2 seconds ago, right? Let's not concentrate on what's the right fight. Let's concentrate on what's the best fight. That's what we should be doing. Ryan Garcia has just beaten an Olympic gold medalist. He didn't just hit him with one shot. He beat him up. Yes, he got chinned in the second round, but he beat him up and then stopped him. You're now telling me he's not ready for a kid who's the same age as him that hasn't got a signature win on his record. That's what you're telling me. Come on, man. Get this old school, old mentality out of your head. Lose it. It's gone. Just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it's right. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let's think outside the box. Let's think futuristic. Let's go after what we really want. And what we really want is what Ryan Garcia is doing right now. He's rocked the fucking ring. He's got on the mic. He's rocked the mic. He's all given us a fight that we thought, hang on a minute. Yeah, I do actually want that. Yeah, I'm in. Because going into that fight, I was Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia after this. That's where I was at. But that kid has made me want the tank fight so much. Yeah. Support him. Jump on him. We mourn when fighters don't do this. You're right in what you're saying, mate. Everybody needs to be on this. Don't think like you used to think. The game has to change to move forward. And Ryan Garcia is the lad. He's the shining light. Jump on what he's doing and follow him.
Yeah. We've got four lads here that are under the age of 26. They're all American. They're all now competing at lightweight. They've got a combined record of 86-0. Let's embrace that. Let's embrace the fact that all these guys are going to go, right, we're going to commit to it then. We're going to do it. For the next 3 years, we're not going to fight anyone else. And we're going to tell the belts, the people who govern Guardies, listen, either you're in or you're out. We don't give a fuck. But the world knows that we are the best four young fighters in this lightweight division. Now, of course, someone come at me on social media and said, yeah, but you're saying if one of them loses, we don't drop them. They stay in the round robin tournament. We keep these guys fighting against each other.
Yes.
How is that fair on Lomachenko? I'll tell you how it's fair. Lomachenko is 32 years of age and he's 14-2. His legacy is done. He's probably the greatest amateur boxer the world will ever see. And he can continue with his career, but his career continues outside of this bubble. He came up against a young, hungry, big, strong lightweight and got found out. He's not big enough for this weight division. He needs to move back down to super featherweight or featherweight and continue his run. If he wants to stay at lightweight, listen, you know, man, I'm the biggest Lomachenko fan, but he does not fit in this tournament. Lomachenko, if you want to stay at lightweight, cool, man. There's a guy over in New York called Richard Commey that's licking his wounds as well. That's coming off a loss.
Yeah.
If Lomachenko and Richard Commey want to get it on and then try and force their way into this little bubble, cool, man. Crack on. Go and do it, boys. But right here, right now, I don't care about either of those guys. I don't care about Kambosos Jr. I certainly don't care about Javier Fortuna or Jorge Linares. I don't care. And neither should the rest of the world. And again, just to reiterate, I've got Vasyl Lomachenko pajamas, but I don't care. Mm. There's four names I care about in this lightweight division. Lopez, Davis, Haney, Garcia.
Yeah.
They just need to fight each other repeatedly, whether it's on DAZN, whether it's on Top Rank, whether it's on Sky Sports. I don't care. I just want the four of them to fight one another, make as much money as possible, and just keep going round in a circle for the next at least 2 years.
What we should do.
And so should they.
Yeah. What we should do is forget about tournaments. Forget about, well, if he beats him and he beats him, then they fight each other. No, fuck that. Set it up like football fixtures. Just set it up like football. Right. So, okay. In May, You two are fighting each other. You two are fighting each other. No matter what the result is, doesn't matter what the result is, in September, you two are fighting each other and you two are fighting each other. And then next year, these guys. Job done. Absolutely perfect. 2 years of football fixture fights, regardless of where the belts go, regardless of who ends up winning whatever fight. You could come out with a guy there with three losses on his record. Doesn't fucking matter. Not interested. Get it on, man. Absolutely get it on. And if we haven't pumped you up, then we're fucking not doing a job right, are we? Come on.
But isn't that not where, you know, the fixtures thing's a cool idea, but is this not just where the mentality of not just the boxers, but certainly the fans, like, we've all been kind of brainwashed into thinking belts matter. We've all been brainwashed into thinking, oh, you know, he's got to stay on Sky Sports. He's got to stay on BT. I genuinely don't care. As long as I can watch it as a fight fan, I don't care. Listen, are certain channels better at covering boxing than others? Of course, are certain channels
DAZN.
Better DAZN commentary
the boys.
Teams?
Get DAZN commentating on this. This is all we want.
Carry on, lightweight division. Here we go, Sid James. But listen, I don't care. And neither should any fight fan out there. These four guys have got a golden opportunity right now. And one of them, Ryan Garcia, is leading the dance. He is leading the dance by going on huge platforms, and he's not wavering. Even though everyone in his ear, like everyone's in my ear, Jorge Linares would be perfect. He's not listening. He is not listening to any of that shit. He's like, shut up, Oscar. I will say what I want to say. I want Tank.
Yeah.
I want Tank. And he won't give it up.
And the thing is, as fans as well, it's all right for us to sit here and encourage it because we want to see it and it gets us in the mood for a sensational blockbuster of a fight. When it backfires, or if it backfires, support the kid still. Still jump because he's the one pushing the game forward. Don't be that person when Tank chins him that goes, ah, I told you so, too early. Should have took the Linares fight. Fuck off with that. We don't want to be going backwards. We want to be encouraging these dudes to do this more often. So if it does happen, if he becomes a meme and he gets splattered all over the ring by Tank Davis, then we go, do you know something, Ryan? Thanks, mate. Thank you. You made us believe again in this beautiful sport. Keep doing it, bro. I'm a fan for life. Keep doing it. So if you want to get on the bandwagon now and go and fight Devin Haney or go and fight Linares now to get yourself back in the mood again, we're here. We're here for you. We'll support you through it. That zero, that defeat, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Just give us the best fights. Keep doing it. Yeah, man.
And if he tanks, Tank?
Oh, if he tanks, woo-hoo! Tank. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ, man.
But this is what boxing needs, though. This is what boxing needs. Like, it needs to... we have people that just listen to our boxing show that don't listen to our MMA show, our UFC show, because they're not interested in that sport. But they're probably sick and tired of people who are into MMA and us, on occasion, of banging a drum going, I just prefer UFC because they make the big fights. Aren't you sick of hearing that? We've all heard it as boxing fans. We've all heard that rhetoric go on for the last few years, and it grates on us. It grates on me, and I'm like, yeah, but come on. Tyson Fury's just fought Deontay Wilder. That was a huge fight. Yeah, it was, man. It was one of two or three huge fights that we got in 2020. I could fucking reel off two dozen that we got over in the UFC, and that's a problem. Boxing can step up, and people like Ryan Garcia, as young as he is, as fresh as he is, he gets it, man. He gets it. Yeah. He gets the fact that you can't have two or three shitty fights and one big fight a year. Every fight's got to be a fight. Every fight's got to be of interest. And boxing tasted that more than anything last year. What happened? Tyson Fury tried to end the year with some absolute knockover, piece of shit, cash grab, money fight, and we all threw up over it. We all literally went, bleh, not interested. And it got cancelled for whatever reason. Probably wasn't the truth. It was probably because of the fact that every fight fan went, not interested whatsoever. If it's not AJ and it's not Wilder, absolutely not interested. And that must be the mentality of every boxing fan and everyone working in the industry as well. Fight fans, we should not accept garbage matchups with championship fighters anymore. Unless they come back from a serious injury, unless they're coming back from a heavy defeat, fair enough. But you're talking about a kid, Ryan Garcia, that has just snatched all the headlines, that has just stopped an Olympic gold medalist, that has gone one better than Lomachenko, than Linares was able to do. At the age of 22, got up off the floor and stopped Luke Campbell. Don't pour salt on Luke Campbell now. Don't try and discredit what that was. That was a sensational performance. And Ryan Garcia knows now, if he takes on Jorge Linares, he's taking a step backwards.
Yeah.
The world is watching. The world is enamored. Everyone's like us. We're all Ryan Garcia fans now. What's next? He knows. I can't fight Linares. I've got to move forward. Put me in with Tank. And I tell you what, if he gets Tank next, it will do massive numbers.
I was just about to bring us on to that, actually, because from a world point of view, Fury AJ kicks the shit out of everything. It just will do because it's heavyweights. And there's so much interest in unifying that division. And we'll talk about AJ and Fury in a minute. But as a fight outside the heavyweight division, is there a bigger fight? Is there a bigger fight? I think this does more numbers now with the way that Ryan Garcia has carried on over the last 7 days. I think this does bigger numbers now than if they were to announce Errol Spence and Terence Crawford tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Because Terence Crawford's, you know, diabolical with media, you know, and with all due respect, you know, Ryan Garcia, whether you like it or not, has got the kind of Instagram, has got the kind of young person following that is insane. And Tank has got a massive following as well. If that fight happens this year, right now, looking at the landscape, without fights happening and things falling into place.
Yeah.
That fight has got to be the biggest fight outside of AJ and Fury. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I can't think of anything else that comes close to it. I'm thinking of Canelo now.
I think it does more because Mayweather's in Davis's camp.
Of course.
So you've got that following on that side. You've got Ryan Garcia doing his thing with Oscar.
Canelo.
You've got that narrative of bringing them promoters back together. It's massive. It's absolutely huge fight.
Yeah.
Hey, does serious.
And he gets it. But Ryan Garcia seems to get it. He's 22 years of old and he knows he seems to know more about the future of boxing than 90% of the people working in boxing.
Mm.
He gets it, man. He's took a backward step. It's like him and the Reynosos or whatever, him and his family have took a backward step and looked at everything that's wrong with boxing and gone, yeah, I could probably get to 30-0 without forcing out a fart. But what's the point? I could still be 22. I could go to 22-0 and claim the scalp of Gervonta Davis, grab myself a belt or whatever. And listen, it's not about belts. That's the beauty of Ryan Garcia. He doesn't harp on about becoming undisputed. He doesn't harp on about... I know he's got a tattoo this week with a lion on the chest, with a crown on its head and all that. I've seen that on his Instagram, which, again, mad. No, a kid who's not even a champion yet, he's getting a King Lion kind of tattoo on his chest, but that's just where his mentality is at. He's got the mentality of a winner, so I love him, man. If you were a hater before, you must be a lover now.
Yeah.
Because he is the future of this sport. I'm telling you now, he is the future of boxing.
The Ring magazine like him. Did you see their rankings this week? Because they've put him above Devin Haney. So they've put the interim champion above what would be classed as the actual WBC champion.
And I 100% support that. And you know I've had issues with Ring Magazine in the past with the whole Golden Boy buyout and everything else. They sold their soul to one of the devils, and I'll never understand the logic behind a publisher doing that, whether they're in dire straits or not. But anyway, regardless, I 100% support it. And again, just to reiterate, and let's put this on social media, out of all these guys, Devin Haney's my guy. Devin Haney is my guy. But right now, I agree with Ring Magazine. Devin Haney is ranked below Tio, below Ryan Garcia, below Gervonta Davis, because he hasn't got the kind of wins that they've got, or certainly signature win that they've got.
Hmm.
There's no disputing it. Yeah. Tio, Gervonta, and Ryan Garcia's last fights, last performances were better than anything that Devin's done in his career so far. Fact. Devin's ranked number 4 out of those 4, definitely.
What did you make of Maurizio saying that Teofimo was undisputed as well this week?
Again, he just makes it up as he goes along, doesn't he? He just makes it up as he goes along.
I love it. I'm on board with that.
Teofimo's the undisputed champion. Listen, I agree with him. But then, so why have you got a guy who's got a world title belt wrapped
and
around
an interim
his waist
one.
Then, Maurizio?
And an interim
champion as well. Yeah. Absolute farce. But again, I don't know whether the likes of Maurizio and I don't know whether they see it coming, man. I don't know whether they're so blinded by the money that they don't care or whether they can see on the horizon, actually, you know what? The end is nigh. The way the sport's going, the end is nigh. You know, people like Dana White in the UFC, certainly if he comes over to boxing, there's absolutely no way on God's green earth that Dana White will move to boxing and play games with the WBA, the WBC, the IBF, the WBA. Not a chance. Not a single chance in hell. The only way he comes over to boxing is if they distinguish one world title and he will draw a line of sand and go, that's it. I'm never paying them the six figures for their bullshit titles again. The new title is this, or the one title we're going after is this. Or, you know, the Ring Magazine belt, that is it. We're going to go with them. Spoken to Ring Magazine. Our guys will only fight for Ring Magazine. That's the future, because it's got to be. Because the convoluted nature of boxing isn't working. It's been not fit for purpose for a long time. And I think fans now, there's too much top-class sports entertainment out there on the planet for boxing to remain at the top without making it a little bit cleaner and a bit more easier for fans to follow.
Couple of other bits, seeing as that we've no fights to review and preview this week. I put a tweet out this week about Mikey Garcia. I'm a little bit disappointed, really, because I saw an interview with him. First of all, he looked big, looked heavy, right? He seems to be enjoying himself a little bit, does Mikey. And I've seen him interviews with his brother as well. I'm a little bit disappointed that he doesn't fancy coming back down to 140 or even 135 to get in the mix with some of these guys. I would love to see Mikey Garcia and Lomachenko, for example. But he seems absolutely hell-bent on pursuing Manny Pacquiao for a fight at £147. Now, a lot of people listening to this will go, well, why shouldn't he? Manny Pacquiao's massive money. Why would he not want to be the guy that sends Manny Pacquiao into retirement? Listen, that's all well and good if he was the genuine front-runner for that fight. I don't think he is anymore. I think maybe a year, 2 years ago, he may have been the front-runner for that fight because of where he was at. He stepped up to welterweight and fallen short against Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao, yeah, he is the cash in this division. There's no doubt about that. But he's not about taking light touches. He's still about taking the best challenges. And I think he will look at Terence Crawford and Errol Spence as more viable options than taking on a fight with Mikey Garcia. I think Mikey Garcia is in danger. He's only 32. I think he's in real danger of just watching his fantastic talent dwindle away, you know, and fizzle out, because he went through the weight divisions, did sensational things. Yeah, he took a leap of faith, and we encouraged that to go up to welterweight and see how good he was. We found out that he's just not big enough. He's talented. Yep. He's just not big enough to rock and roll with the likes of the Errol Spences. People will argue saying, well, Manny Pacquiao's not really a welterweight. He's gone through the weights as well. But yeah, he's been at welterweight for a long period of time now, man. He's there, right? He's sizable. I just think Mikey Garcia is in real danger of watching everything fizzle out, whereas he could come back down to 140. He could come back down to 135, really, given his frame, and get in the mix with the likes of Lomachenko.
Yeah, he should do. He absolutely should do, you know, because, as you say, one thing was clear against Errol Spence, and he's just not big enough. You know, he's just not big enough for this weight division. And I don't think banging that drum, and I don't think Manny Pacquiao is going to look at Mikey Garcia as the attraction he once was before, because everyone will just say, well, he's not big enough at welterweight. He should go back down to super lightweight, just because Mikey Garcia going down to super lightweight is probably the one thing the super lightweight division needs, and that's, you know, someone with his kind of pedigree. For as good as Ramirez and Josh Taylor and Progray and Zepeda and all that are, Zepeda's been around for a long time, but no one's got the kind of name that Mikey Garcia's got. No one's a multiple weight world champion. So Mikey Garcia going back down to super lightweights is a huge attraction for the winner of Ramirez-Taylor. That was the obvious fight to make then, because Mikey Garcia is a big, big name and brings a lot of money to the table. So if I was 100% agree with you, so I'm Mikey Garcia, I certainly would go back down. I think right now, the welterweight division, the way, you know, Spence Crawford's got to happen this year or it's never going to happen. It looks like it won't happen.
It's not happening.
But it's never going to happen.
It's not happening.
You know, how many fights has Pacquiao even got left in him? Hopefully, Pacquiao sticks with this welterweight division and doesn't go outside this welterweight division for a freak show circus fight with Conor McGregor. Hopefully, we just see him stick to adding to his legacy here in this boxing ring because, you know, the performance against Keith Thurman last time out shocked everybody. I thought he was brilliant at times. Again, Keith Thurman turned back the clock again. How he manages to do it, I don't know. I'm not going to start making allegations against Manny Pacquiao right now because, you know, he's never failed a test. But come on, fuck's sake. He just gets better with age. And that's, in boxing terms, that's impossible. But anyway, I think Thurman against Crawford or Errol Spence would be interesting this year. But again, we're trying to play boxing's game, aren't we, just to keep this division alive. There's only one fight that needs to happen in this weight division, and that's Errol Spence versus Terence Crawford.
Another addition to 140, who hasn't fought for 2 years. You will have seen him on the pads doing bits, and there's noise that he's back in February. AB, Adrian Broner. Last time we saw him, he was getting arrested outside the MGM Grand, mate. But he's back. And I've done a little bit of digging and chatted to a few people behind the scenes. And the noise is actually positive. I know it's hard to believe, Nick. Right? I know it's hard to believe. I know that it's easy to just go, Adrian's a dickhead. And this is just one of those things that gets us excited for maybe a couple of weeks and then it'll all blow up. He'll miss weight, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of the chat from behind the scenes in America is that Adrian Broner's taking it seriously. 140 pounds is when he'll be back. Now, if he's there, if Mikey Garcia can be there, and you've got Taylor and Ramirez there.
There's a fight.
Now, all of a sudden, we've got a knock on our hands, haven't we?
Yeah. He's still a name. He's, you know,
he's a massive name.
Of course. Do I think he will come back this year? No. I think there's more chance of him ending up back in jail than ending up back in a boxing ring because that's just the way Adrian Broner's life is. But if he can get back in shape, if he can get back in the ring, he's certainly an addition. And he's the type of addition, as you say, where all these other guys have been licking their lips at the opportunity. You know, Josh Taylor defending his titles back anywhere against Adrian Broner. Christ almighty, the amount of money that bizarrely Broner still generates would be absolutely sensational. But he's a marked fighter for me, Adrian Broner. I don't really consider him a boxer anymore. Now, again, just to reiterate, I'll be surprised if he gets back inside a boxing ring. Sorry, it's a poor score night. Do you know who will? Who I do think will come back this year, though?
I know what you're going to do because you predicted this at the start of last year.
I predicted at the start of 2020 that former heavyweight champion of the world, Vladimir Klitschko, would return to the ring and COVID fucked me. COVID got in the way and has delayed it. But right here, right now, we are now, three or four days removed from the fact that Vladimir Klitschko has made serious statements about returning to the boxing ring at 44 years of age. What do you reckon? Do you think it's going to happen?
Why does he need to do it? Why? Come on.
Money, 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 money! Money!
I read an article the other day that he's talking like around 70 million to do it, yeah, something.
Well, he come out and said last year he was offered 40 million to come back, and he said no. But he said if someone puts 75 on the table, I'm in. And I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit, you're in, Sherlock. I'm in. Fucking hell, don't put 75 million on the. I'm in. I'm being. Yeah. So, rather outlandish comment from Vladimir, especially bearing in mind that the reason he's doing it is because the world is excited again about the heavyweight division. There's a fight there that don't matter what side of the Atlantic you're on, you want to see. Everybody wants to see AJ versus Fury. Everyone now has gone, yeah, they're the best two heavyweights on the planet. Forget about the Wilder thing. That was bullshit. You know, we tried to build them up to be, the Americans tried to build them up to be to be the hardest hitting heavyweight the sport of boxing has ever seen, all this kind of stuff. It kind of blew up in the faces when he was completely comprehensively outboxed and then stopped by the Gypsy King. So the world now accepts AJ Fury is the fight to see the best who the best heavyweight in the world is. Chances are they're going to fight at least twice. There's going to be a shed load of money. The Middle East are throwing money everywhere now because they're trying to, you know, take over the tourism industry, and they want to show the Middle East as a tourist sports mecca hotspot. And the Klitschko's are switched on, man. If there's one thing the Klitschko's know, it's money and how to make money and how to sniff out some money. And they're seeing there's money knocking about, and they're also looking down going, other than AJ and Fury, Usyk, I guess, who's a tiny little heavyweight that'll probably get beat by them. You've got Wilder if he comes back, but that guy's finished now. All he does is bitch and moan and sack trainers. They're looking around this heavyweight division going, there ain't many dance partners that stand up, that make the kind of money and generate the kind of interest that AJ and Fury do. Dillian White doesn't, Povetkin doesn't. Now, everybody else is a B-level heavyweight compared to the two at the top. Klitschko coming back, even though he's lost to the two at the top, remains an A-level heavyweight in the eyes of fans, certainly fans in Germany, in Russia, and no doubt fans in America that remember the Klitschko name and the dominance they had for a decade. Plus, there's a narrative there as well. What was on the USB? We still need to know what was on Klitschko's USB that he sewed into his fucking ring, you know, his jacket and all that shite. I think Klitschko smells the fact that if he can come back this year, have a knockover, be ready maybe to step in, or if AJ or Fury, you know, after they've had the first fight, if it's a conclusive knockout one way or the other, then maybe he jumps in. I just think Klitschko smells something's going on. It's just letting the world know, I could still do it if you want me to, you know. I'm here if you need me. Would not surprise me at all, man. Would not surprise me.
Whilst you're talking about heavyweights, I saw a few people on social media last night blowing up about the Usyk situation. Eddie Hearn, I think, did an interview, can't remember who it was, one of the YouTube channels, and he said that that Usyk was out of contract with Matchroom unless the AJ fight happens next. And there were a few questions like floating around after that particular comment. And I'm sure people are thinking, what has Usyk's contract situation got to do with any mandatory situation? Well, nothing really. Nothing on the face of it. It doesn't. But what I would imagine is that it would affect negotiations, wouldn't it? So therefore, if you're all under the same umbrella, a deal can be cut where you're going to fight him next. If you just step aside, we'll pay you a few quid. Or if you're going to make the fight, then you would get a rematch maybe. Mandatories don't normally get that. All these little add-ons that you can do, I suppose, from within the same umbrella. When it's two different umbrellas negotiating for a fight that's being mandated by the WBO, then you have a period of time to obviously come to a deal. If you don't come to a deal, then it will go to a purse bid situation, wouldn't it? Now, nobody in their right mind is letting Anthony Joshua go to a purse bid, because for those that don't know, it's not just open to Matchroom and Usyk's team. It's open to everybody. Any man and his dog can bid for it. And you're all going to be bidding for an AJ fight, aren't you? Al Heyman comes sweeping in with his multi-millions going, here we go, boys. I'm going to make you fight on the moon. There we go. Boom. So you never, ever in your wildest dreams let an Anthony Joshua fight, because the amount of money that it would generate, you wouldn't let it go to a purse bid situation. So if it did get to purse bids, you would imagine that that WBO belt then becomes vacant, because there's no way that they would allow that to proceed. I don't think it affects too much, because we're still banging the drum of just fucking whiz the belt in the bin. We're not interested. We just want to see AJ Fury. So from our point of view, it doesn't change anything, but it would be interesting just to see how the negotiations of that now start to change a little bit. I can't imagine too much, but it might do. Let's keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it.
Yeah. It's interesting, and I've seen Usyk's team now come out and said they were disappointed with Eddie because, well, whether this is true or not, this is something a rumour read online, but Usyk's team saying they were disappointed with Eddie because the ring that they agreed to fight in for Chisora was actually a lot smaller than what they agreed upon and all this kind of stuff. Now, listen, that may be true, it may not be true, but just to... The thing with Eddie is that this is it's funny because all his different, he has all these different like deals with different fighters.
Yeah.
Now, I know Bellew and Froch, for instance, they never had exclusive deals signed with Eddie Hearn. And Kell Brook, of course, who's just gone and fought off his own back against Terence Crawford, he was obviously on a similar deal with Eddie Hearn. They're not actually tied to long-term contracts. It's on a handshake. And the deal is, I'll go out there and find the best fight for you for the most money that makes the most sense for you. You take the fight, I take my promoter's cut. And he had the same deal, as I say, with Bellew and Frotch and with Kell Brook. And for a lot of these guys, it absolutely works. Now, obviously, he's had a different deal here with Usyk because it's more of a time scale thing, yeah, where he's been representing Usyk as a promoter for a certain period, and that period is now out. So it's difficult, man. I like the fact that champions don't have a tie to a deal with one promoter. That's where every champion needs to be. You need to be a free agent, and you need to say to all the promoters, yeah, man, go and get me the best fight possible for the most amount of money. That's the most makes the most sense for my legacy, and I'll sign to take that fight with you. And that's a brilliant thing. And the more people we can have that, the better. Now, is there a reason why, for instance, Frotch had that deal? Maybe it was based on two things. Maybe it's the fact that there's only two serious players in the UK with TV deals that can put on the type of pay-per-view events that Carl Frotch would have needed. And because if you sign with an American promoter, you lose that, you know, that real drive towards the UK audience, which is your core audience. So it's you pick one guy or the other, whereas it's slightly different for Usyk because, you know, obviously he's a more international fighter. But, you know, whether the Sauerlands are getting back involved in boxing now, maybe the Sauerlands would be a good matchup for Usyk.
Just signed Eubank Jr.
Exactly. They've just signed young Chris. So it's strange, man. It's strange, this boxing business. And unfortunately, nothing's straightforward. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, didn't he have, he had the big Cuban Eddie, didn't he? And he basically signed him to fucking keep him away from AJ. And then once AJ had maneuvered past him, he let the kid go. You know, and that's
Ortiz.
Ortiz. Maybe he's doing a similar thing with Usyk. I don't know, but I think I can see Usyk now fighting Joe Joyce for the WBO title away from Eddie Hearn, away from Matchroom,
That's fine.
Maybe even away from
that's
Sky.
That's fine, because nobody's interested in that belt. Just get rid of it. We want to see Fury AJ. That's the only thing.
Exactly.
A couple of other fights that I just want to flash up that have come to my attention this week. Maurice Hooker, Virgil Ortiz. Mo, what are you
Woo-hoo!
Doing, man? Mo. I know that on this show, we encourage the best fights and the most exciting fights, but listen, mate, we like you. We don't want you to get involved with this killer. He's a lunatic, these Virgil Ortiz. Hell of a fight, man. And a hell of a challenge for Mo.
It's a sensational fight, and it just goes to show, man, that the main man's just fucking literally doesn't give a fuck, does he? He doesn't give a fuck. You know, he's got... He just believes in himself, and he's just like, come on then, let's do it, man. Let's find out how good this Virgil Ortiz kid actually is. And listen, for Ortiz, of course, we talk about him a lot. Probably don't talk about him enough. 22 years of age, 16 fights, 16 wins, 16 knockouts, just the one out in last year. But let's be honest, he has fought at a level below Mo Hooker. He's never fought at world title level.
Yeah.
He's never fought at championship level.
You know he's the nuts. You know he's
listen,
the nuts. Stop it.
I know he's sensational. I know he's got all the ability in the world. But you know what? Mo Hooker needs something. He needs something to reignite his career. Hmm. He needs a big signature win again. Obviously, losing his belt, getting stopped by Ramirez would have broken his heart. But he knows now. He's a bit like a fight, you know, in this light welterweight division. He's kind of the king of the Who Needs Him Club. He's big, he's long, he's gangly, he can fight on the inside, he can punch. Mo's obviously got to take a chance on himself. He's 31 years of age. He can't let his career pass him by. Mm. And unfortunately, right now, it's going to be hard to force a mandatory. Mm. But there's big fights in this welterweight division if you can pick up a big signature win. Fighting Virgil Ortiz is a huge risk, man. Huge risk. But both these guys... a king of the Who Needs Him Club. So it's nice that they're fighting each other.
Yeah. Another fight that I'm excited about. I know we've got a couple lined up internationally at the end of this month. But Burchelt versus Valdez, February 20th for the WBC Super Featherweight, is an absolute
boss
belter of a fight. Get you more information on the broadcast details of that for UK audience. Burchelt Valdez should be a screamer. And we've also had a little bit of news just before we started recording that the British Boxing Board of Control are going to resume boxing in the UK mid February. So there you go. What have we got there? Man. About 4 weeks, 5 weeks of further waiting before the boys and girls are allowed to go and earn a few quid again. Fingers crossed we get back to some decent knocks.
Well, I haven't heard anything from Frank's team at the moment, but I'm sure they're working on stuff for February, absolutely. What I am hearing, though, is that Matchum are first back, Eddie's first back. He's just trying to confirm the destination now. But February the 13th will be the first back, the Valentine's weekend. February the 13th, Josh Warrington Kanju unification fight. So Eddie's hitting the ground running.
Good.
With a big featherweight unification fight to start the year. And then the following weekend, February the 20th.
Give it us.
Keep everything crossed. Literally cross every finger, every toe. Avanessian Kelly is confirmed for Feb 20.
There you go.
Keep it all crossed. Please let it happen. Please let it happen. Because the winner of that is another name to throw at the top of this welterweight division as well.
Neil Marsh is my new favourite person on social media, by the way. Fuck me. I mean, he's absolutely rinsed everybody at press conferences. But I was watching him on Twitter posting a video last week. I was crying with laughter. I've got this guy, as well as obviously promoting fighters and managing fighters, he should go into stand-up comedy. He's absolutely on the money, Neil Marsh. It is a great fight. Feb 20th, fingers crossed we can we finally get it. I think it's been rebooked about five times now, hasn't it? Avanessian and Kelly. It's a real knock. There you go. Couple of things to look forward to. See, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, isn't there, mate? We've just done 50 minutes there talking about nothing. Well done, everybody. We got through it. No fights, and still we can find something to have a little bit of a chinwag about. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for coming along. If it's the first time you've ever done that, you can, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes and via our website if you need an Android feed, fightdisciples.com. All the social media stuff is there as well. And we will keep you up to date with everything that's going on in the world of boxing with future podcasts. We release every single Monday lunchtime. So make sure you come and join us for that. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.